Today, the cash ban report is out. Who blinks first? Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and proper news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And I'm joined late on a Friday afternoon with Robbie Barwick. Hello, Robbie.
Hello, Martin.
Well, it's come out.
It's come out, and it took all bloody day, if I can use that language on your channel, which is ridiculous. Talk about playing games. The thing is, though, you can see by the report that there's a lot of sort of intrigue and turmoil behind the scenes to produce what they have produced here. So we're short on time. Let's get into it. We have to say, Martin, that just to acknowledge that we've literally just got the report. Right? I've had it printed off here, but it's literally just been put up. So 60 pages. We haven't read it all. However, there's a page and a bit of recommendations, and that's what people are hanging out for. So I would say two things, and then I'll be interested in your view. One thing is this. For whatever reason, Labor seems to have taken the approach of helping the government save face. And why? For the love of God, why? On the other hand, saving face while loading down this bill with some very heavy recommendations, right? Now, there's some caveats we've got to add to that, but the recommendations are very heavy. And have given that the Liberal chairman, Slade Brockman, signed off on the report and signed off on the recommendations, what do they mean that this is going to be a much longer drawn-out process? It doesn't look like they're going to be able to easily ram this through. That's a victory for us right there, right? Something they would have just loved to rubber stamp and ram through in September. Now it's a much more involved, detailed, drawn-out process, and it might not even come off.
Yeah, well, when I read the recommendations, I was thinking there's two things going on here. I'm not sure which is the right, and that's why the question is who's blinking first, right? Because essentially there are so many hurdles they've put up, you know, incorporating some of the critical points in the bill rather than in the regulations, asking for a review of existing legislative alternatives already, trying to carve out particular exclusion areas, and a whole bunch of other things that basically just says this sounds more and more and more like putting more and more lead in the saddle, right? And if you want to kill a bill, there's one sure way to do it, is to basically make the process of putting it forward so hard that basically everybody just gives up. The alternative would have been to say, we reject this bill but I think that would have been too transparent. And my own view is that too many people would have lost face. Plus, I suspect that the Liberals would have then accused Labor of being weak on money laundering and crime and those sorts of things. So this route, whichever way it goes, means I think it was going to be a long, slow gestation period. So we can say for sure that the cash ban is not coming in straight away. It's not going to be retrospective. And the range of issues that was actually raised in the report and in the recommendations, kudos to people like John Adams and a whole bunch of other people who have actually raised very, very valid issues. They accepted that those issues were valid, I think.
They did. And you're right, there is a surer way, which would have just been to kill the bill, but Labor is scared of its own shadow when it comes to that. However, this approach does look like it could be precisely that approach. But you have to say, in terms of, we're holding the ground that this bill has no merit whatsoever. And if you look at the recommendations, they're not trying to make a bill to combat the black economy more effective as a bill to combat the black economy. They're trying to make a bill which they can't prove is to combat the black economy, more palatable to the public. And we've put them in that position. They're trying to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, right?
Yep.
But saving face as well. Let's go through the recommendations, because that's what people will be dying to hear.
Yep.
And then, because they each have something that's worth noting. First recommendation, the committee recommends the government review existing powers and trends in the digital economy to assess whether the bill is the most effective response to the black economy. So that's a very broad recommendation. It's almost like go back to the drawing board and prove this. that there, if this is taken seriously, that there means, you know, this gets this is a much longer process. And of course, what was our argument all along? The, you know, and they even quoted John on that and other submissions. This was not the question of a serious black economy in Australia was overblown, right? So that's an interesting recommendation. Recommendation two, the committee recommends the government review the penalty provisions, particularly in relation to one-off breaches as opposed to repeated offences, which are more likely to be money laundering and tax evasion, to ensure they are not overly harsh. Now, here's the problem with that. They don't state there the more obvious problem with the penalties of that, that there's jail terms, and we're the only country in the world that has jail, that is proposing jail terms.
Hmm.
That makes our bill much more draconian. They haven't stated that. They're just saying it's a difference if you're a one-off as opposed to a repeat offender. But what my biggest problem with that is, it's premised on this idea that if you use cash, there must be you must be dodgy, right? Garbage. Mind your own business, right? That's, you know, the onus of proof cannot be reversed in the way we run our live our lives here. If we want privacy, that's our business. But anyway. So that's the kind of recommendation you've got to be able to see through, right? But still, nevertheless, it's a recommendation they're suggesting. Straight away, it makes the bill much more complicated, right? Recommendation three, the committee recommends the government respond to concerns raised by the Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman and others regarding the availability of electronic banking services, ATMs and internet banking, in remote and regional Australia, including during natural disasters, and whether there will be a detrimental economic impact on those areas. And I'm laughing because, of course, you especially made a big deal about that in the bushfires, right? The people queuing up, they could only use cash, etc. Quite an obvious thing. So that's a no-brainer. The problem there is that it's not just the availability of electronic banking services, it's the availability of banking services, i.e. debanking, which is what the Small Business Ombudsman also raised, right? And that's not in there, right? But nevertheless, that is going to be that straight away makes it more complicated.
Yep.
Right? Recommendation four, the committee recommends the government assess the impact of the bill on particular migrant communities, particularly in relation to funerals, to determine if there are potential negative impacts. Well, we know there are. That's already been given. That testimony was at the December 12 hearing, and it was quite shocking impact, actually. But how does the government accommodate that, without making the bill? The more complicated this bill is, the harder it is to enforce. And it was already going to be hard to enforce because you're dealing with cash, right? Mm.
Well, so, and the point there, Robbie, is if they start then saying, well, particular communities are okay and others aren't, so you basically start segregating on basis of race. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons why you can't do that. And the other point, of course, is that Suka's been very hot on the Lebanese biker gangs. Well, you know, there's a racial profile in there already.
They'll put up their hand. Listen, we're Lebanese biker gangs and we kill people, so we have lots of funerals.
Mm.
We should get an exemption.
Exactly.
I mean, so, and one of the, when we raise the question of this becoming more complicated, the point there is that's complicated to draft. How do you accommodate that in drafting legislation? Right. That's these are the things that make this is why this is lead in the saddle. All right.
Yep.
Recommendation five, the committee recommends the commencement date of the bill be extended, which is a no-brainer.
Mm.
That has to happen anyway. As you said, it's not retrospective, and that a final agreed date be informed through consultation with business to allow sufficient time for business to implement system changes and undertake training as required. So that's probably, you know, getting into the area which was highlighted in the second hearing of, hang on, where's the regulatory impact statement, etc. And they might be shocked, because what I've found in this whole debate is there was an assumption of pay waves here, we hardly use cash, this won't matter. And the minute people started thinking about it, and you learn more, you realize, no, a lot of cash is still being used. These conditions can become quite onerous, right? Yep. So that'll be a challenge. Recommendation six, the committee recommends the government develop a communications strategy to insist in dispelling some of the unsubstantiated claims regarding the bill. Well, I'll just finish that and then we'll rant about it. The strategy needs to be in place before the commencement of the bill to allow sufficient time to inform the public public and businesses of their responsibilities. Well, I think we have to acknowledge, Martin, that one source of what the government would call unsubstantiated claims is this channel. Another source is our channel. Another source would be Interest of the People channel. Another source would be High Success channel. Another source would be Nuggets News. There's lots of channels, lots of publications that have been making claims, and the government would like to say those are unsubstantiated. Well, I'll give you an example of an unsubstantiated claim. It's what most of these ignorant politicians think about this law. You and I discussed this the other day. A National Party senator said in writing that this $10,000 cash ban limit was arrived at after the Black Economy Task Force received 3,500 public submissions. And this woman thinks that 3,500, which is a lot of public submissions, recommended this cash ban, and that's why we have it. The truth is the Black Economy Task Force had just 40 meetings with people and groups. They recommended, they got 10 public submissions, 10. And when the Treasury announced this as a law and opened up for consultation, they got 3,500 submissions vehemently opposed to it, right? So the ignorance, the unsubstantiated claims is in the minds of members of Parliament in the government, right? What we have said is completely substantiated, right? It's not, I challenge them to give us the unsubstantiated claim. And the one I reckon they'll come up with is the question of being trapped in banks, right? This will not stop you from banking. Whereas the point that we made very clearly about that is, no, the law is different to the regulation. And under the law, you cannot move more than $10,000 in and out of a bank or any business. Under the regulation, you're exempt, right? And the regulation can be changed easily. The law cannot, but it's in the regulation. That was the point we made. And it's a relevant point. It means the minister can change that exemption anytime and trap you in a bank, right? And they do not want to own up to that. And that's the gist of my objection to that one. So that was recommendation six. Two more. Recommendation seven, the committee recommends the exemption for payments relating to personal and private transactions be provided for directly in the bill. Now, this relates to my previous statement because, so this is talking about gifts to family, etc., right? Personal transactions or selling a car to your neighbour over the back fence. There is an exemption for that. Again, it's been in the regulation. They're saying move that exemption to the bill. That does not include the depositing and withdrawing money in banks. That's not a personal transaction. That is a business that you're entering into a business relationship with. As, in fact, as you and John showed on your show, you're actually lending money to the bank, right? That is not exempt. They're not proposing to move that exemption into the bill so it's watertight, right? Finally, recommendation eight. Now, this is key because of the way it's worded. Contingent on the above recommendations, the committee recommends the bill be passed. Now, that can mean one of two things. Contingent is clear, right? If these are done, we recommend this bill be passed. The question is the committee representing the views of the leadership of the Labor and Liberal parties? Or is the committee just representing the views of the six senators as individuals and therefore the Parliament can ignore those views? Because this report on its own is not binding. As shocking as people might find that, it's not binding. That's what we have to determine in the next period. And I think there's a couple of things that there's a certain approach we've got to have. Until it becomes clear, people need to go after the Labor Party and say, why are you helping the government save face here? Why can't you just have the guts? Is Labor going to say, oh, we're trying to kill the bill through process, right? Well, if that's your intention, just kill it. Because otherwise, we don't trust you that you're not helping the government get a foot in the door here, right? And even in some minor way, sometime down the future, where hopefully people are distracted by something you want this through, right? There's a financial crisis brewing in the world, Martin. It's getting worse. The banks and the banking establishment want this kind of law. They want bail-in. They want all those sort of things. They need to be able to trap people in banks, right? We have put the Parliament and the Senate in the position where they've had to come up with this dog's breakfast, right? We've done that. But what they've come up with is not good enough. It is good that now that we've really slowed this process down. But Labor, get your act together. Don't you want to get re-elected again, right? Show some guts. They could have had the whole country cheering for them tonight on the basis of this report, and instead they've chosen to follow this process. So I think here's what I would say to people that have been making calls. Parliament is still sitting next week. The Senate isn't sitting in session. It's in estimates, which means they're all in the building. So they're there in their office. Keep calling them and demand they explain their approach for this. Why are you taking this approach? Defend the law if they want to defend it, and they can't. It was Labor that exposed that the government has no evidence. Remember that. That's the promise with this. The problem with this whole thing is it's premised on an assumption that this is to deal with the black economy. And when the government was asked for evidence of that, they didn't have any, because the Bloomberg Black Economy Task Force was only based on 40 meetings and 10 submissions. It's a joke, right? So demand Labor explain themselves. And if they say privately, oh, this is our way of killing the bill, give them a serve. Don't congratulate them. Show some balls, right? And just kill the bill. The Greens have a dissenting report in there, very, very hard hitting. I just find the there's a good headline too, actually. The problem is not the cure is worse than the cash. That's the headline of the Greens report. Yep. They can do it. One Nation's dead opposed, etc. Why couldn't Labor do that? So next week, this doesn't go into I'm not trying to tell people just stay on the phones for the rest of your life. But one more week of Parliament sitting, hit them hard on this. What's actually going on here? Do not give them any wiggle room, because if there is a chance that this is just the six senators and the major parties can ignore it, right, if they choose to do that, then we really have to hit them hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's not over till it's over, so there's still a little window there. And as you say, you can't assume that everything will just land the right way, so we have to continue to apply pressure. And as you say, it's all down on Labor. Labor, you've let us down.
We will update people on as things become really crystal clear. Yep. But that is the bottom line, right?
Yep.
Now, let me be really happy that it's at this point, right? This is only here because of the work that the public has done.
Yep.
Right? That's very good. But don't take second best. Right. This is a law that should have been scrapped. By the way, just to contrast it, this is the latest from New Zealand this week. In August here, when our Treasury did a consultation on this and got 3,500 submission, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand did its own consultation in cash. You and I mentioned on the show we did at the time, they got 2,000 submissions, which per capita is even bigger. And the Reserve Bank of New Zealand governor said this week, the public has sent a clear message to the Reserve Bank that people would not tolerate moves to make New Zealand a cashless society. We're not doing it. Right? That's the Reserve Bank over there, of all things, responding to that. That's the contrast.
Sounds like leadership.
Sounds like leadership. Germany kicked theirs out. Germany wouldn't tolerate it. Yeah. Right? And instead, we got this approach here. So anyway, that's the gold standard we've got to have in our mind. We need to force that approach on them. This may end up being the approach, which does die a slow death, but you can't take it for granted. Keep the pressure on, especially next week. That's what I'm saying to people. If you've been making calls, keep calling next week and demand an accountability for this report.
Yeah. Robbie, thank you for your time tonight. Very, very important message. And, we'll keep pushing. Encourage all our viewers to keep pushing, because this ain't over till it's over.
Ain't over till it's over. Thanks, Martin.
Yep. Thanks for that. See you later. So there you have it, the latest on the cash ban bill. It is still not too late to have an influence. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.